Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. One of our core values at Erie First is spirit-led worship and prayer. The act of worship is not just singing songs, but the Bible tells us that we should live our whole lives as an act of worship to God. Today, Pastor Quint Lindblad is with us, and he'll be discussing how we can better live out this idea of spirit-led worship in our everyday lives. And he'll also point out some pitfalls we need to avoid to prevent putting other parts of our lives ahead of our relationship with Jesus. So let's get started today and discover what it means to find the heart of worship. Here's Pastor Quint.
Good morning and welcome to church. My name is Pastor Quint. I brought my emotional support machine with me today. And we're going to have a good morning. So don't applaud yet. You don't know what point I'm making with this. All right, well, I'm really excited about this morning. I believe the message that I have prepared for you is right on time for our church. Let me start by giving a little bit of background on why and kind of what we're doing here, and then we're going to get in. We've called this morning the heart of worship. We're talking about worship. So a couple things you might be asking yourself. One, why is there a motorcycle on stage? I mean, it really was inevitable at some point, right? Like, you can only talk about it so much, and then you just got to ride it through the door and bring it in. Let's do this. So, all right, but anyways, we will get into that. And then question number two you might be asking, if you know I'm the executive pastor here, you might say, why is our executive pastor talking about worship? So I'm going to explain that and kind of my background. But before I do all that, I want to just talk about Erie First and our five core values, all right? For almost 10 years now, okay, almost a decade, we have been saying these five things are the core values of Erie First that we believe will help us love, build, and send better, okay? They are, in no particular order, redemptive community, purposeful outreach, radical generosity, anchored teaching, and spirit-led worship and prayer. And that's the one that we're going to talk about today, all right? But really, when we say these core values, what we mean is this. Redemptive community. If we find community together, we learn how to love each other and build each other up, okay? The more you live in community with people, the more you realize love takes effort, okay? You actually have to, like, work for it because people can be frustrating. We can be frustrating. And so we have to learn how to actually work through situations together. That's what community does. When we engage in outreach, we are sending the gospel into unreached places and loving those that are in need. When we are generous, we are more like God and we are moving his kingdom forward, all right? When we learn from the word, we understand his character better and we know how he would have us to live in various situations. And then the one we're going to focus in on today, when we engage in worship and prayer, spirit-led worship and prayer, we are offering a sacrifice of ourselves to the only one who is worthy. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Another way to say that is this. We are aligning ourselves with his plan for our life. His original intent for you and for me was one of union with him. All right, and worship and prayer is a way that we do that. I have said in sermons here before, we are human beings. We are not human doings, okay? We are human beings. We were created to simply be. We live in a world that applauds and even demands achievement, all right? But we serve a God who just wants us to be and to be in union with him. And when we do that, when we exist in union with him, everything else should flow out of that. All right, so the other piece of background, why is our executive pastor talking about worship this morning? Actually, it was 10 years ago right now, 2014, that I started wading into these ministry waters, all right? I started as a worship leader. That's where I got kind of into this thing. I had a full-time sales job. I was not looking to get into ministry, but I was helping a small church about an hour from here, leading worship on the weekends, and it just, I've said it before, but it just snowballed into so much more. And you know, I've always felt a call to lead people. I'm a leader. But as I continued to grow in my faith and became more dedicated to my faith, I wanted to help lead others in their faith. And so God worked in me and helped me become the pastor that I am today, all right? But here's what I would tell you. I actually found myself doing things like this. I was seeking out community. I was finding places to serve others. I was giving my time and my money. I was studying God's word so I knew it better. And as a worship pastor, of course, I was spending time in worship and prayer. So I didn't have these titles like redemptive community and purposeful outreach over my actions or my habits, but I had those traits. And for me, it led to this total career change and an opportunity to become a pastor. I do not tell you that to scare you away from living out those traits. Like, oh my goodness, is that the end game? If I actually adopt these five traits, am I going to have to wheel my motorcycle out on stage? No, you will not have to do any of those things, all right? But what I am telling you is that hopefully you can see we are similar and we are different. But all in our own unique context, we have the opportunity to live out these traits and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love, build, and send those we come into community with. So when we do that, we are allowing the Lord to develop our character through these traits. All right? And when we do that, we are more like him in our unique spaces and places. So that's kind of the background on how we get here. We have these five core values. One of them's worship. Worship is my heartbeat. It's where I got my start. And so we're going to look today, Psalm 46. I want to read to you from Psalm 46, and then we're going to really see why Quint brought a motorcycle to church this morning. All right. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So here we have a song. Psalms is songs, okay, songs of worship. Here we have a song that is describing and reminding all who will hear just who our God is. You may have seen that verse, that line from verse 10 on like a coffee mug at work or at home or something. Be still and know that I am God. And that's great and that's true. But there are other truths stated earlier. Like, let's start at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Listen, there are countless other places throughout the Bible, all of Psalms, 150 chapters, a great primer on worship, okay? You also could read in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Lamentations, the book of Revelation. Worship is a constant in God's word because he alone is worthy of our worship. Worship is a constant in God's word because he alone is worthy of our worship. And what I found when I started on my worshiping and eventual worship leading journey was this. Anytime I spent true dedicated moments in worship, reminding myself what we read here in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Anytime I spent time doing that, it was so soul-centering, okay? The doing side of me became less, and the being side of me got more in sync with my Creator. I found out through real and tangible moments, all right, that my God truly was my refuge and my strength. He was ever-present in my troubles, as stated right here. And I found that I could just be still, like it says at the end of the chapter, and know that he is my God. If you have never had an experience like that, I would invite you to ask God to give you an experience like that. God, I want to experience that feeling and to know that to be true. I think you will be amazed at what he does. I still have experiences like that today. And the other thing I will tell you is the more often you enter into that space, you build that habit, you can get there faster and easier because you have a more in-depth and better rhythm and relationship with him, all right? Let me give you some quick definitions of worship that might help me to articulate what it is I'm trying to say. Definition number one, worship is the act of ascribing worth to one who is worthy. Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence for someone to regard with, the feeling or expression of reverence for someone. And then number three, it is to regard someone with extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. And so for this next little bit, what I want to tell you is that I'm going to be painting with a very broad brush, okay? Some generalizations are about to fly. And sometimes when that happens, people think, well, he's probably not talking to me because he's just painting with a broad brush. And what I would tell you is generalizations are generally pretty true. So I actually probably am talking about you. So don't just write it off. But I will say, give me a little bit of leeway. Don't take anything personal, okay? That's a great start. So here we go. What I have found to be true as I have been on this ministry journey for a decade now, I've sat with dozens of people, maybe hundreds. I've observed hundreds for sure, but I've sat with dozens. And this is what I've noticed is this constant theme we all kind of possess that we all could work on, okay? It is this. Everybody kind of thinks everybody else has a certain amount of with-itness that they don't possess. And also, everybody kind of thinks everybody else is examining how not with it they are. Should I repeat that? Was there too many with it's in there? Okay, here we go. Everyone kind of thinks everybody else has a certain amount of with it-ness that they do not possess. And also, everyone thinks everybody else is examining how with it they are. It's kind of like self-involved, but also others involved, all right? Or you could say, it is the worship of others through exalting them, and it is the act of giving extravagant respect to somebody, but it's also the worship of self through fixating on self, and I just have to be real. We've got to stop this, all right? And I get it. Social media is no help, right? Social media, you see everybody's highlight reel, and none of the behind-the-scenes footage, I understand. But at the end of the day, what happens all too often is we look at other people and we make assumptions about their life and how great they are or are not doing. And then we also think that they're examining how short we are falling, all right? And it's an identity thing. Let me give you a personal example, though, with this bike right here so that nobody feels directly called out but me, okay? So this is my 1985. I should sit on it, don't you think? Where's the photographer? Somebody taking a picture? We got this far, guys, right? I mean, come on, let's go. All right, this is my 1985 XJ700. My birth year's 1985. I would say 70% of why I bought this bike is because it's my birth year. I was like, that's a good reason, right? So, and because I have an amazing wife. All right. So this bike started out like this. Let's see the picture. This was right before Thanksgiving. This is what this bike looked like. Can you believe that? And so I got this really cheap, and it was a fun winter project. And, you know, it just kept me busy. I like tinkering and doing things like that. Here's the thing, though. This is why I brought it here today. This is my point. People look at my social media posts about this bike, and they think I know what I'm doing. People think I'm mechanical. I'm this much mechanical, okay? I have a different bike I had hoped to get here today. It's just not quite ready. 1977 Yamaha. Other reasons I had to have that one. But anyways, the other day, I have the original manual for that, and the other day I was reading it, and my 8-year-old was like, you are so smart, because it's like reading Greek. And here's the thing. He thinks I understand it. I don't. I'm very lost, okay? But I'm trying. And here's my point. People watch what I do online. I know that I get the comments, all right? I get the messages. People watch the pictures I put up about this, and they say, like, wow, oh my goodness, you're so, you know, whatever it is, right? And I know the truth. I'm kind of a hack. I'm like, I have so much to learn, all right? If I go to a real moto shop or if I follow like real people who do know what they're doing, like I feel so inadequate. I feel so like, what am I even doing? And here is what I know to actually be true. I'm not awesome, but I mean, I'm also not inadequate. Look at this thing. I mean, come on, right? I'm about as good as this project says I am, whatever that is, right? But my point, you're like, dude, you better drive this home. What is happening right now, all right? My point is this, my identity's not in it. So who cares? Who cares if I'm amazing or if I'm whatever this says I am? It's just, it's an outlet. It's fun. It's something I can do, but I'm not trying to prove anything by it. I'm not trying to like feel a certain type of way about who I am when I go to bed at night because of this, all right? And far too often, we get our identities wrapped up in things that are meant to serve us, but somehow we end up serving them. This is fun for me. This serves me. And the second it doesn't serve me, I got a problem that I need to work on, okay? But listen, I see people do this with their careers, with their musical instruments that they love and that they play, with their hobby, with their social media page and how it does or doesn't look, all right? Listen, the moment we start caring more about how creations define us and not how our creator defined us, we have lost our way. The moment we start caring more about how creations define us and not how our creator defined us, we have lost our way. If you've been around long enough, you may have heard my story about a couple years ago when I did have my identity wrapped up in motorcycle stuff. It was miserable. I was a mess. I got stranded in Virginia on a broken down bike, like, and I had so much repenting I needed to do. I'll just say it. Your pastor had to repent. I was a mess. I did not have my priorities straight, all right? And so let's go back to our text this morning, Psalm 46, and see how it would challenge us in regards to what I'm saying. Right here, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, all right? So here's this opening declaration. God is our refuge and our strength. It's this emphatic statement of truth, and everything else that follows in this chapter has to fit underneath this emphatic statement, all right? Part 2, he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Yeah, that fits under he is my refuge and my strength. He's an ever-present help in my times of trouble. What's next? It says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall in to the heart of the sea. Listen, I don't have a history lesson for you this morning on exactly what the nation of Israel was facing when this psalm was written, but I think we all can agree that even if this is just hyperbole to get a point across, what the writer is trying to say is no matter what could ever possibly happen, even the earth giving way, the mountains crumbling into the sea, if that's all this verse is just this exaggerated example, it sits perfectly under the truth that no matter what we may face, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and our strength. So if we believe that to be true, wouldn't he be the safest place to put our identity? Wouldn't the fickle and unstable and uncaring places that are known as what other people think and what I can do with my hobby or my creation, wouldn't those just be really unsafe places to put our identity? Wouldn't that be unwise to ascribe worth or to show reverence or give our ultimate respect to just like stuff we can do or things we enjoy? Wouldn't that be just selling ourselves so short? Isn't that so cheap, so scary, so beneath us when we know, because we read it right here, that we have a God who is ready to be our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help no matter what we might face, all right? A couple of months ago, my wife and I went to Cincinnati for a concert. There's a couple of artists that we really like, and they do this thing where their music gets played by symphony orchestras or whatever. And so Cincinnati Pops was one of them. It's the closest one that ever has come near us. So we booked this little Airbnb and we stayed right next door to the concert hall. And before the concert, we went next door to this ramen place, all right? Not a ramen place, a ramen place, all right? We go over there and we're sitting down, we're eating. And like half the restaurant, not the staff, half of the parishioners of this restaurant were in black pants and white shirts. And I said, oh my goodness, I think we're eating with the orchestra people. We're fancy. I know they're called orchestra people, all right? I said, I think we're eating with the orchestra people. And sure enough, wouldn't you know, 90 minutes later, we're in our seats, gray seats, and there's the first chair violinist. He was three tables away from me. There's the cellist, all right? And, you know, their belly's full of ramen, just like me. You know what I'm saying? And this is what God showed me. You're like, really? Yes, this is what God showed me. We could have gone anywhere else, eaten anywhere else, all right? And I would have missed this lesson, but we ate there. And what God showed me was that if all I ever saw those people do was their thing, at their peak, doing their talent, I potentially could have been like, man, they just have it so together. They are so with it. I wish I never quit piano at 16 years old. Maybe I could have been that with it. You tracking with me? But instead, you know what I thought? They ate ramen just like me. They had to pay with their debit card just like me. They're just people just like me. And it's amazing to watch them do their thing, but they're not. It would be foolish of me to ascribe worth to them that they haven't earned, that, and it would be unsafe. It'd be an unwise place for me to put that level of thinking and caring, all right? And it would be a form of worship. It would be giving them reverence or respect that cuts me down and lifts them up based on nothing. Based on nothing, all right? So I have seen this. I remember living this out in our early 20s when we got married. I've seen this with young people who are getting married and thinking all about other people who are getting married and I'm not getting married, or I am getting married and they're not getting married. Am I making the wrong decision? Are they making the wrong decision? And listen, or you could go to the other phase of life. People retiring, not retiring. Should I be retiring? Right? We think about everything else everybody else is doing. And this is what I have found to be true. And I have a long way to go just like anybody else. But this, we have got to get closer to Jesus and to walk in our confidence because it comes from him. Not from our internal processing, not from observing what other people are doing, not from judging it based on some scale. Am I doing good enough? Listen, find your confidence in the one who created confidence and who can give you confidence in the path you are walking, all right? That's what we need to do. Let's go back to this motorcycle for one last time. Since it's here, you know, might as well. When we let go of all the others' stuff, we stop thinking about how others will react, won't react, what will they say, what won't they say, all right? When we are truly, the core value we have here to your first, when we are truly Holy Spirit-led in our worship, not insecurity-led in our worship. You groaned. Maybe I need to say it again. When we are Holy Spirit-led in our worship and not insecurity-led in our worship, everything changes. But this is what I know to be true. Language, like the two words, everything changes, rarely registers, okay? It rarely registers. So let's try it a different way. Let me explain it with this. When I don't fixate on my inadequacies with my bike, all right? And when I don't fixate on how expert level everybody else is, when I'm just objective, when I realize they're using the same Craftsman socket set that I am, all right? They might have more going on in their brain, but they're using the same tools I am. They don't have magic wrenches. I'm objective, and I just humbly approach it for what it is. Progress happens, okay? I get to try something new, learn something new, do something new with Jesus, and it's serving me. I'm not serving it, so I get the enjoyment out of it I was intended to get, all right? I'm not a slave to it, and I'm not missing the point entirely. So we called this morning the heart of worship, and you probably know that very popular song. In fact, just 5 weeks ago, we were singing that song, When the Power Went Out. If you were here, you might remember that, all right? It was actually really cool. I happened to be leading worship that day, which I hadn't done in a little bit. And if I may say so, you all sang louder than I've ever heard you sing during that moment. It was amazing. It was beautiful, all right? It was also followed by 7 minutes of really awful and terrible feedback, all right? But maybe you repressed that part from your memory, all right? I did not. But this is why I bring that up, and this is why we called this morning the heart of worship. It is a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing, and it is a beautiful thing for the church to declare that we are getting back to the heart of worship. But I want to challenge everybody in here this morning to think about yourself getting back to the heart of worship. It is a totally different thing for me to say, I'm getting back to the heart of worship. You are getting back to the heart of worship. It's amazing to be a part of a church that prioritizes worship and prayer. That's amazing. But we all have a personal part to play in it. It is important that we lay down our insecurities and get back to the heart of worship personally. It's important that if you're one of those young 20-somethings watching somebody else's journey, that you don't overanalyze and worry about and think about, that you just pray that God blesses their journey and that God blesses your journey, that you just give space for God to have enough grace for everybody's unique and individual path. And we could go through all different life phases. That's just the one that I picked on this morning. But listen, don't look at somebody else winning in a given moment and cut yourself down because of it, or exalt them because of it. Frankly, we have no business playing the comparison game or thinking about any of that. We all need to get back to the heart of worship. It's all about Him. We have to strip our insecurities away and let Him, as Psalm 46 says, be our refuge and our strength. No matter what circumstance, He's your refuge and your strength. No matter what trouble you're facing, He's ever present. He's ready to be your God. He is the safest place we can nest ourselves in. We can settle ourselves in. That is where our identity should rest, purely in Him. So we have a friend from Arkansas with us this morning. Her name is Mary Grace, and she's going to lead us in this song as a moment of reflection. I want to challenge everyone in here to personally reflect for the next little bit. You can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, whatever you need to do, but don't rush this moment. This is holy. This is introspective. This is Jesus. Where have I been letting my insecurities shine through? Where have I been exalting others and debasing myself, putting myself down, and not finding You in all of it, in both situations, Lord? So let's just sing this together. Let's take a moment. Let's work to surrender. Let me pray. God, would You just show us what only You could show each of us individually? And may we be up for the task of surrendering our worship only to You. Let's sing this morning. Jesus, you are enough. You are enough. We proclaim that. Church, say that with me. Say, Jesus, you are enough. And we just say today as a church, Lord, we want to get back to the heart of worship. We want to focus on you individually and corporately. We don't want to get lost playing a comparison game, seeing what other people are or aren't doing, filling in blanks, thinking things about it. Lord, forgive us when we fall into that. And thank you for being gracious enough to save us from that, to help us out of that trap. Because, Lord, you are enough. And so we thank you for that this morning. We praise you. We worship you and you alone, because you alone are the only one who is worthy. And so we ascribe worth to you. We place extravagant respect on you, Lord. We give it all to you. We thank you for who you are. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.